Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi there. My name is Kit Shapiro. I am owner of a boutique in Westport, Connecticut called West. I also happen to be president of Eartha Kit Productions, as well as Simply Eartha, which is a line of accessories that say something, which are in honor of my mother, the legendary entertainer Eartha Kit. I am thrilled to be on this podcast today and would love to introduce, here's Sylvia.
Kit, thank you so much, and thank you for being on the podcast today. We're sitting here in your wonderful, wonderful clothing and accessory boutique.
Thank you.
A little bit of California, a lot of California, right here in New England.
Yes.
And of course, as I was waiting, you know, to set up, don't you think I tried on quite a number of things?
It's an easy place to do that. You sort of get in here and get, it's, you get lost. You end up going into the place where, oh, I have to try this on. I need to try that on. And you discover little gems, which I even, and I do the buying for the store, and I still continue to discover gems.
Well, it's a very welcoming place.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, what is it that you have written on the in the dressing room?
Well, in one of the dressing rooms, I have Love Yourself First. And I have You Are Enough written in another mirror. And another mirror says, You Are Beautiful. Because I think clothing is the skin we present to the world. We don't walk around naked. So we choose this clothing, we choose the skin to show other people. And I believe that if we don't feel comfortable in the clothing that we're wearing, and if we don't look in the mirror and feel the beauty of ourselves, and then it doesn't matter, you know, how we could wear the most expensive outfit on the planet, but if you don't feel good in it, then you won't be happy wearing it. So I like people to want to, you know, it's not about like wearing a designer, wearing this label, or wearing this particular style denim. It's really about, how does it make you feel? Do you look in the mirror and go, yes, this is me, this is good?
And I believe that's something you got from your mother. As you've said, your mother was a singer, an actress, an advocate. And among many of the things that you want to honor and keep her legend, love, kindness, and empowerment. And you're talking about, and I believe your mother also, one of her things was honor your body and mind, yourself.
And be true to yourself. My mother was always true to, she listened to her gut. And the few times she will tell you in her life when she wasn't comfortable with a place, you know, whether it be a job or a situation that she ended up in that she wasn't comfortable in, she would say, it's because I didn't listen to my heart. I didn't follow my gut. And that, to her, our instinct is never wrong. And unfortunately, society and peer pressure and people tell us, you know, to question ourselves. We often question ourselves. And we all do it. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are at listening to your gut. We all second guess ourselves. But I think that if we can really feel who we are, be comfortable with who we are, be proud of who we are all, you know, composites of so many different things, of the society we live in, of the family we grew up in, of the genetic background that we were given, of the world that surrounds us. And we just need to sort of understand that we are enough. We're okay with who we are. We're all doing the best we can. We really are. Well, there are probably a few out there that aren't, but we won't talk about that.
Okay.
And just to really appreciate that simplicity of, I woke up this morning, I'm able to see, I'm able to breathe, I can walk, I can hear, I can, those simple things, that's what my mother taught me every day. She would wake up and she would give thanks and say, thank you, God, for allowing me to see another day, to experience experiences, meaning the positives and the negatives.
And the negatives.
And we know that we learn from, you know, the difficult times, the challenges in our lives is usually when we grow the most. But we often are so afraid or wary of change that we don't want to take those steps. My mother was not like that at all. My mother just kept moving forward because was the only path that she knew how to take. But she also understood that sometimes a door opens over here that you're not expecting. And you sometimes have to be willing to
walk
step
through that door.
Through. She would say to me, God may not be there when you want him, but he's always on time. And you have to really trust that what we're going through in life is what we're supposed to experience. And if we're not, quote unquote, happy, we can change. We can change that experience. Move to the left. If you're not sitting in a seat that's comfortable, move over. If you don't have people in your life who are good for you, don't be around them. Those are the things my mother was really strong. She felt really strongly about instilling in not just me, but people in her life that, you know, that she felt needed to hear.
And that's something that, especially young girls these days, there's so much peer pressure. There's always been peer pressure, but there's even more so with social media and everything else. You've been inspired by your mom, and you've taken that through, and it's brought just in the whole atmosphere of your shop, of your boutique here. So how would you go about, you know, children are so, young girls are so under pressure to wear this, to wear that, to you know, clothing is what people see. It's your whole being. It's who you present. And a lot of young girls will try to present something that they're not. And it's through clothes.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things I have to give my mother an enormous amount of credit for, and of course, I grew up in another era where there wasn't social media. There were magazines that were pressure, but even the magazines, I don't think, were quite the same pressure that we've seen, you know, the last few years. Television, there were 11 channels. I mean, that was all there was. There were the primary, you know,
The networks,
and then you had, you know, PBS and Fox and, you know, one or two other.
WNET, Channel 11.
Right, and WPIX. And so we didn't have quite the infiltration of media that just was like bombarding our senses. But one thing, I grew up in the entertainment industry. With, you know, my mother, that's where we were. I lived in Beverly Hills, California. My mother encouraged me to just be who I was. It didn't matter that I would put on, you know, two different colored socks, or I would wear a shirt on backwards, or I would want to eat the vegetables. We had a vegetable garden in Beverly Hills. I would want to eat the carrots right out of the ground. You know, my mother encouraged freedom of experiencing. And that, I think, as a parent, is really hard to do.
Very much so.
I mean, how many times would my husband say to me when my daughter would be dressed to go someplace, you're not going to let her walk around the house looking like that, are you? I'm like, she is who she is. I mean, I think there's an extreme that you have to curtail. I mean, I'm not saying you walk out wearing, looking like a hussy, for, you know,
for lack of a better,
more obnoxious word. But I do think that we all have this sense of who we are. We try to figure it out as very young children. I saw my kids when they were, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old. The difference between the boys and the girls, they were very different. And they were both independent thinkers. And that made them very strong-willed. And at times that was really hard to parent.
Very much so.
But it was also important to let them, give them that freedom. Give them that little bit free rein, because if you can't do it when they're 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, it gets a lot harder when they're 15, 16, 17. So I think my mother was really good at encouraging my creative being. I'm an only child, and I grew up in Beverly Hills. We had this big property, and I didn't have any playmates near me because we lived in a little secluded part of the town, because my mother was a very famous person at the time. But my imagination was so strong. And my mother would let me go out for hours. And I had two little dogs, and I'd be out there for hours, and I would make up stories, and we were adventurers, and we were, hunting, or we were doing whatever, and the dogs were my trusty sidekicks. And I know my mother was always sort of out of the corner of her eye. She knew where I was.
Of course she did.
But she never made me, think that she was worried that I was getting, that I was going to hurt myself or fall down or... So she let me just go into this place of imagination. Unfortunately, where we live now, with all of the social media and the phones and the screens that we have, imagination isn't quite as nurtured, I believe.
No, imagination isn't. Unfortunately, because of all the tools that young people have, that is almost their imagination instead of going out and the books and being outside and just doing without any tools or anything.
Right.
My own opinion is that they're missing out on quite a bit.
Yeah. And there is a movement to have more of that. And I know, I was an avid reader. So for me, I escaped into all of the Bronte sisters and Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights. And then I also escaped to the, Nancy Drew mysteries.
Oh, Nancy Drew was the first one. The Mystery of the Clock. I forget the name.
Yes!
I read that when I had my tonsils out. And then I just started from there, and then there was Sue Barton Nurse, mm-hmm. and then it went on to all the Agatha Christie and the John Grisham and books. There was a time when I was redoing my downstairs, and it had all built-in bookcases, and I told my kids that we had to take them all out to paint, and they looked at me and said, "We're not taking them out and putting them back in." I said, "Okay, fine, box them up, we'll give them away, we'll donate them to the library." Just under 900 books later, and they were all hardcovered.
Wow.
I didn't smoke. I bought books, and I bought hardcovered. So, but that is missing a lot, and it's really a shame. But I want to go back to how clothing can kind of mold either who you are, or you mold yourself into who you think. Because a lot of people wind up wearing them as costumes, and then maybe they become that person that they're thinking about. It's great, just like makeup and hair. You can hide behind it in ways that maybe you couldn't before. How do you maybe help someone, push them to go to a place that they might not have thought they could go to? And it's kind of empowering in a way.
It is. Well, I think part of that is the willingness to take a chance. Again, it's sort of that if that door opens in life, you maybe take the step through it. Clothing is the same thing. Sometimes you have to be willing to step outside your comfort zone. I am a creature of habit. If you gave me the choice, I would literally wear the same thing every day. And I don't mean just the same style. I mean the same exact thing every day. So I have to push myself as well. But I think I know myself well enough, and I was lucky enough to know myself very early on that what I felt comfortable in and what I thought looked good on me, when I looked in the mirror, what I would look in the mirror and say, "This is me." That, I think, is what you have to encourage people to try to do. Not to look in the mirror and say, I don't know, I want to like it, but I don't know if I like it. And I don't know if I would wear this. And I don't know. You have to really be able to feel that you are comfortable in that, whatever, that piece of clothing. And that some of that is just is wisdom, knowing who you are. But some of that is just being willing to try something new. And I have often tried on new things that I would never have even picked up. But sometimes we're very lucky. I have incredible staff here in the store, and they will sometimes just make a suggestion to somebody, even me. Try this. Just give it a try. You don't have to. It doesn't matter what you think. And it's, sometimes you're like, whoa, this is not something I would ever look at, but I really like it.
And it's eye-opening.
And that is also how life is, though, right? The door opens, and you're like, "Nah, I don't like that door. I'm not going to go through it." But you never know. You try it. It might be something that, you know, it might be the path that you were meant to be on. It might be the outfit that changes your how you look at yourself. And when you walk into that room and you present yourself differently because you feel differently, people respond to that.
Exactly. It's the whole empowering. And there's a line that people don't understand between vanity and self love and self-awareness and self-acceptance. Vanity is so different. You know, people who take care of themselves and want to try something new and want to, you know, dress so that they feel good about themselves. I mean, you give them that opportunity here, most definitely. It's empowerment. It's feeling good about yourself. It's just like your mother said, yourself first. Because no one else can come after that.
And I think, you know, I'm a mother, and I have daughters and I have sons, and it's important to show our children that we are able to put ourselves first. Again, not in a, I don't like the word selfish because I don't think there's anything wrong with being selfish.
No.
Not in where we're other people are to their detriment, you know, we're not paying attention to them. But if we don't take care of ourselves from all those things, from our health to grooming, to, you know, exercise, nutrition, clothing. And this isn't about how much money I have to spend on my clothing or on my mother would always say, you don't need to join a gym to be fit. If you have 2 feet and you can walk, you're blessed enough to have the ability to walk, get up off your butt and get out there and walk. If you have a water bottle or a can, that's a weight. You know, it's not about I have to join the right gym and I have to be seen.
Exactly.
It's just about really taking care of yourself, and that means staying present and staying focused on you first. And our health is the most important thing. No matter how much money we have, you cannot buy health. And so I feel that the gift we can give our children is showing them how we take care of ourselves. And we can take care of them as well. But that will also help them to learn to take care of themselves. And especially for girls, when it comes to emotions and, you know, and vanity and clothing, because, you know, they're bombarded by social media about how they're supposed to look and what they're supposed to wear, because that model, who doesn't look like that in real life, because everything's photoshopped, looks in a certain way in a dress, and, you know, and you don't like the way you look because you think your arms are too this, or your rear end is too big, or your boobs are too small, or whatever it is. It's totally irrelevant. You know, our bodies are beautiful no matter what, and everybody is different, and we're supposed to be different.
Exactly. And so there are rules for young children, and there are supposed rules as you get older.
Yes.
What to wear in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s.
Don't wear white after Labor Day.
Oh, please. I mean, years ago they were said that to get away from that, they were calling it winter white.
Yes.
I love it. But the rules, you know, are made to maybe as a guideline for some people need them, but they're not meant for everyone. Not everyone should wear, you know, long dresses or jeans or, you know, the rules that they say are absolutely, you open the magazines and you go, this is what, you know, 60 looks like. Are you kidding me? I don't think so.
Right, you weren't supposed to, we weren't supposed to have our hair long after a certain age and, you know, all that. I think you're right about that, though. I think there are guidelines, but see, in order to look at the guidelines and then pick and choose what works, there's self-awareness that's needed there.
Exactly.
You have to understand what my mother would say, my flaws make me who I am. You have to understand that we're not supposed to be quote-unquote perfect. Nobody is. I don't care how amazing their lives look on the outside. So we have to understand who we are and accept who we are. If we're not the right weight that we think we should be, or the right hair color, or the right, it doesn't, today, this is what I've been given. This is what I have to work with. You know, someone told me when Michelangelo would look at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, he didn't look at the whole thing and go, oh my God, I have to paint this whole thing. He'd say, like, today I work with this much. This little box is what I have to deal with today. So today, this is what my body is, and I want to love who I am today, because this is all I can really count on in this moment, is a guarantee.
Exactly. And there are so many things nowadays that, so you go and you try something, you have to, again, it's even putting on something that you never thought you would, but you look at it and you go, wow, you know, maybe open that door, step through it, because nothing bad is really going to, you have to take a chance. If you don't take a chance and you stay safe your whole life, it gets boring.
Well, like I, but I, you know, and you, like you just said, this is clothing. We're not talking brain surgery here. I mean, you know, the worst case that happens is that you try on an outfit and it looks terrible and you take it off and you don't buy it. I mean, but you have to be willing to push the envelope in life in general, because that's when we're outside of our comfort zone is when we grow and when things change and when we see the possibilities.
That's it. And the possibilities are there.
Yes.
Which, unfortunately for some people, they're not willing. They're too scared to take that chance. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is awareness, just awareness. Take that little step. So you didn't do this when you were 20. Big deal. You're now 30, you're 40, you're 50. There's so much that can be done. You go out, and I love your mother said, and I'm going to quote it, "I have never yearned to stay young, but rather to stay me. The me committed to embracing her uniqueness. The me who feels no shame in championing and cherishing herself. The me who accepts aging as a natural process, not a disease, and says, thank you, when I take care of myself." That, I mean, that's something to live by.
No question. And again, I think in everything in life, we have to learn to be self-aware. And in order to do that, we have to be willing to accept ourselves. Self-acceptance is not an easy thing to do.
Not at all.
But when we can sort of get past this desire to be perfect or get rid of the words, "I'm not good enough," that to me is, "I'm not good enough. I can never do that. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not smart enough." All of this enough. We are enough. You don't need to be that extra thing. And I think that when you get the self-acceptance, then you have the self-awareness, then you have the ability to take a chance and to put yourself out there. You know, I'm going to be 58 years old next month. And this business, having this boutique, is a new step, a new chapter in my life. This is something I never thought of doing. I never had aspirations to be in retail. And this opportunity came along, and I felt so strongly about stepping into this role, because I want to be a part of my community. I want to be a role model for other women, for my own children. And to show, you know, the beauty is I show my kids at 57 years old, it's never too late to start something new.
Well, I know that it's never too late. I have about 10 years on you, and, you know, I keep reinventing and starting and refocusing and re-engineering. It's all reimagine,
right?
how life is. It's never too late. And especially nowadays, the longevity is long.
Yes.
And
we got to look at life as being an adventure.
It is an adventure.
Longevity is a gift that we are, hopefully many of us are being given. So let's take that gift and enjoy it. That means trying something new. That means following as my mother would say, following the bend in the river as it turns, and be willing to make those turns as well. And because here I am in this new chapter of my life, and I'm experiencing the most amazing feedback from people, doing my part to not only be a role model in my community, but also to reach out to other neighboring communities to try to help people that maybe don't have as many privileges as we do, and to help young girls and grown women to take a chance. Try this outfit on. See what you think. How do you feel? Think about how you feel in it. Don't think about how you look. Think about how you feel in it.
And that's the part that so many people, they're so looking to get acceptance from others. So they'll put something on and say, how do I look? And they're not saying it because they want, you know, they're saying, most people are saying it because they want someone to come back and say, you look good.
Right.
Instead of just saying, you know, chokingly, how do I look? And saying it with a smile, because, you know, yes, there could be some times where you put something on and you're not too sure and it doesn't just speak out to you, and someone will say, no, it really, and you'll go, oh, okay. But so often we look in the mirror and go, actually, we look in the mirror and don't go, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm gorgeous, smile and go through your day.
It's interesting what you just said a few minutes ago, that we want the validation from others to tell us that we look good. That right there is the reason why I don't believe retail is dead. Because people, human beings need human contact.
Yes.
And they, you can't get that from Amazon. And I, believe me, I like shopping on Amazon as much as the next person. But when I go into a boutique, a local boutique, it doesn't matter where I am, if it's in my own neighborhood or in another community, you're encountering people who are giving you feedback. Maybe it's not all honest, but you're still getting feedback, which we need as human beings.
Yes, we do. And you get conversation.
And you get conversation.
Exactly. So they might get to know a little bit more about you, and you walk in a certain way, and even by talking, your personality comes out. Mm-hmm. So that salesperson, it can get a better idea of you.
And sometimes, in some situations, that may be the only person that customer has come in contact with. You may be the only person they've come in contact with all day that they speak to. And so why wouldn't you make it a pleasant experience for them? As a boutique owner, as a salesperson, it's not about the selling of an outfit. It's about the experience of being in an environment that makes you feel good about who you are.
Again, it's another step in empowering yourself and feeling good about yourself. The other thing, your legacy for your mom, you have three words: love, kindness, and empowerment. We've talked about empowerment. We've talked about loving ourselves, and put the kindness in there.
Well, I think there's, again, loving ourselves as being kind to who we are, ourselves. There's loving my mother taught me to love the environment, to be kind to everything and everyone you come in contact with. When I was a little girl, I said earlier, we had a vegetable garden in our house in Beverly Hills, and I would sit there and where she would garden, and there was a slug, you know, the little snails, the slugs, slimy little things that would crawl on the ground, and I
How
would
nice.
Say to her, oh, mommy, kill it, kill it. And she would say to me, you don't have a right to kill it. You don't have to like the way it looks. You don't have to be friends with it, but you also don't have the right to say it cannot exist. And because she said everything on this planet has a purpose. So imagine as a little girl being taught that when you're talking about a slug. I mean, there are not a lot of people who would like slugs and snails, right? But she's showing me the importance of being kind to something that's not maybe as appealing as we to me, to my senses. And that, on the bigger picture, is just about being kind to everyone and everything. Again, if someone walks into the store, it's about being kind. And that comes from being grateful and the gratitude that you have for just life in general. The ability to be on this earth, right? Every day we're above ground
is
a good day. So my mother really taught me the importance of being grateful. Blessings are the little things that we remember in life are always going to be the things, I think, the most important blessings are the little things in life. And that could be somebody's smile. That could be just a passing person having a smile. When my kids were little, they'd come home from school and I would say to them, you know, tell me three things that you had, you know, that made you smile today in school. I don't care if it was lunch. I don't care if it was recess. Just tell me three good things. Don't tell me what the teacher did wrong or how stupid this one is or how this. Tell me three things. And one of the things we carry in the store is called the gratitude jar. And it's this jar that you write these little cards, and every day, hopefully, you would write something down that you're grateful for. And it could be, you know, the sound of the bird. It could be that, you know, you like the color of the tree, or somebody smiled as you're walking past them.
It's the little things.
The little things.
It's the little things in life.
And when you start to take those little things, they all add up. You don't have to be the big rock that plops down in the pond to make ripples. The little rocks make ripples too. So when you put them all together, they add up. And those are the important things in life.
Well, Kit, you have definitely, I mean, the gratitude jars and the inspiration that you present here, and the way that you help people that someone wouldn't even realize they're being helped. Again, Kit, thank you so much.
Thank
it's been
you.
A pleasure.
Same here.
To find out more about Kit and her mom, go to simplyeartha.com. And you could visit her shop at westport.com. Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking with another extraordinary woman. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course, our website, lifeofprey.com. Listen, subscribe for free, and take us with you wherever you are. This has been a Life of Prey production.